Ah, Henry, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Plenty of change in the world of cricket in this country, mate.
Never stops, does it? We live in interesting times.
We certainly do. Firstly, on Faf du Plessis, do you think he should be missing a test match or not?
Well, there's two schools of philosophy here. You got the one school, you think you should be able to do to the ball whatever you want to do, so it's a bad rule. So he can get the ball moving around and have some more excitement in test cricket. Getting a few people out, that'd be good.
Yeah.
So that's one school of thought. The other is, having looked at the footage, the Faf does appear to be sticking his fingers on a white sticky object in his mouth.
Yeah.
So he may well be contravening the rules as they exist.
Yes.
It's up to the ICC to determine when and where these hearings happen. I mean, is this a storm in a teacup, gentlemen? Certainly the South African players and security detail are making it
correct.
More exacerbating than perhaps it should be.
Yep. You bring up some really terrific points, though, Jeff, and we've been debating these throughout the morning, Slats and myself, and there's many, many issues at play here. But as the rule currently states, look, there's not a bloke walking the planet that doesn't think Faf is guilty of altering the state of the ball. But as Slats mentioned, you can have there's no ban against lollies on the cricket field or chewing gum or that sort of stuff. But the ICC are probably going to have to act on this and make the guidelines a little bit more clearer.
Well, yeah, or as I say, I mean, go the other way.
but where does that stop, mate? Can you have bottle tops and
No. Yeah, we're within reason, Terry.
What's reason to you is?
Well, and you're exactly right. I mean, the
what's acceptable?
You can't use anything artificial. I mean, it said quite clearly. It says you are allowed to shine the ball with
correct
perspiration and saliva. But yeah, I mean, nearly everyone chews gum or something on the field, and nearly everyone has blockout on. So
yes,
when you polish the ball, there's something else there, you know, and you're not trying to cheat. That's just
yes.
Now, what are you? So your players, you can't wear blockout anymore because that might get on the ball when you shine it. We'll sue you because our skin cancer is going to go up. There's no end to that. So there's got to be a common sense solution, but as they say, it's not all that common sense. But I would think a more relaxing of the rule makes it a little more easier to police rather than making it more stringent, because you just make a rod for your own back if you say okay, you can't chew chewing gum anymore, you can't do a whole lot of things. It just makes it too hard to police. What I reckon in this Faf case, how are they actually going to prove? Have they got the cricket ball? Have they submitted that to a forensic examination? This is CSI stuff, isn't it, mate? try to find some trace on that ball, will you? Yes, we've got some polysaccharides that we think are being illegally used.
I've said that earlier in the show, Henry. I've never seen any evidence or any study done that convinces me that the sugar with saliva on the ball changes the way it moves, or like they obviously believe the players it has some sort of effect because England have done it in the past and it's been spoken of, but I've never seen any evidence to suggest it does anything to it.
Yeah, let's face it. I mean, in any sport, the players and the coaches, they try to find any way to improve their performance. I mean, people use the rules to their advantage. They change whole systems. I mean, rugby leagues, I reckon, it's a classic where every time they change a rule, the coaches figure out a way to get around it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So human beings are always trying to find a better way to play whatever they do. I mean, that's the nature of the beast in a very literal sense. So,
but
I reckon the easiest way to do is relax things, not make them tighter, because as you guys are saying, it's not affecting the game. I mean, how can they prove? We might be able to improve Faf du Plessis, put something on the ball, but we can't actually prove it changed the game. So, this is a storm in a teacup because of that. Well, is there a cause and effect?
Let's hope the ICC, who always seem to be chasing their tail, actually might take some proactive stance after we get this case. But what did you make of it, mate? We 1880. The last time we had six changes, so much upheaval to our test side, obviously.
It was a good year, 1880.
Yeah.
Just before the Ashes only started 82-3, so it was 3 years before the Ashes started.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 84-85.
Okay. Give us the good ones. Give us the good changes and give us the bad ones.
Well,
I know that's hard.
Yeah,
in your opinion.
I mean, it's a very short, the show finishes at 9, apparently. But, look, yeah, it really is a mixed bag. I mean, that's why you asked the question. It really is a mixed bag. I mean, okay, we'll stick a 20-year-old up the top who's only played 11 first-class games, but he's in good form, you know. So that's a bit of a gamble, but he's young, so you can afford to gamble. That'd be a great selection if you weren't making six other changes. You know, you say, oh, yeah, terrific, give Renshaw a shot at it. That's great. Dropping Callum Ferguson, that actually goes against the ethos of which they picked this cricket team. So it's a contradiction in terms. How can you give the guy one game? How can you say he's good enough for one game? And the guy is a good player. He gets run out and he gets out in the second innings in a really unusual dismissal. You don't know how good he is. I think that's the worst call they made in dropping Callum Ferguson.
Yeah.
You know, then you've got Nick Maddison, who can be a genius on his day. And I must admit, his 100 against West Australia on a spinning wicket last week was absolutely outstanding. And that innings may have turned the game, the selection, in his favour. But, I mean, there was a lot of feeling that Curtis Patterson, averaging 50, might have got that spot.
Yes.
But two, let's say, two young players who've got a lot of game in front of them. So you can live with that. But then the chairman of selectors, the interim chairman of selectors, comes out and says, look, we know Matthew Wade's wicket-keeping isn't up to scratch. I beg your pardon? So you say you're not picking the best wicket-keeper, and I think that's folly.
Right.
Because Pete Neville's averaging 24 and Wade's averaging 34 in Test cricket, and we need a bit of attitude. We don't need Matthew Wade's attitude in Test cricket. The South Africans have just got stuck into him over his behaviour in South Africa in the one-day game. So are you dropping Peter Neville because he's too nice a guy?
I think so.
Please explain.
I think so.
Well, yeah, I think you're dead right. I think they've said from the last test match and the one that went before it as well that we need more mongrel. We need to get some mongrel in there.
To play better.
You need, the guy that used to have the mongrel, he's been told not to, is Dave Warner. He used to provide that, but now he's Mr. Nice Guy. And all this talk about mongrel, I'm with you. How about playing better?
Yeah, if you can't sum up enough attitude to play the game competitively playing for Australia without behaving like toss bags, well, you should be playing. I mean, and that's up to coaching staff and leadership and even management.
Oh, well, there's not many of them there, though.
Oh.
They have their own separate dressing room. Yeah.
Oh dear.
He has been hardly done by. But I think you're right. I think he has been dropped because he's too nice a guy.
And that's all right. Didn't he get 60 in Perth and sort of held out for most of the last day? Didn't he show a bit of mongrel out in the middle?
Yeah.
The way he played, this is the one I can't understand. Okay, brings Ben Sayers in. He's been picked before and hasn't played. And he got injured and he's taking wickets and he'll be the philander of the Australian side, and I think he'll might be a handful with a pink ball if he plays in front of Jackson Bird. So that's two new ones that's no great surprise. And Peter Hanscom's in form, couple hundred. I saw that up.
Yeah. Close. Do you like him as a player, Hen?
I don't.
He's an interesting.
I don't like looking at him.
No, he's got a really.
His style is not aesthetically delightful.
No.
But he makes runs. So that's all that matters, really. But it'll be interesting, his technique, the way he gets so deep in the crease against the South African bowling. That will be an interesting challenge. He's got a good track record, Pete Hanscom, and a tough competitor. So you can live with a guy who's been picked in form. But just the number of changes seems to be a little bit over the top. A couple brought on by injury, of course, but there won't be six debutants, but there may be four, maybe at least three, maybe.
And just on Nathan Lyon, mate, in the dressing room, what did you? I mean, there's a talk that he's down in confidence, all the rest of it. Did you find him okay?
Oh well, yeah. He's always a pretty up character. Maybe not at his peak. He's still bowling quite well. I mean,
yeah.
And it was to you that the Shield game in particular, every chance went, a metre wide of a field, but on the close LBWs he wasn't given, and people played and missed, and it's a very frustrating game, cricket. But he still bowled okay. I mean, if he was bowling poorly, that'd be a different issue. But he didn't bowl poorly. And if you bowl an off spin in Australian conditions, and the first 2 days at Sydney was an absolutely flat, perfect batting pitch, which gave nothing. You know, off spinners don't have all their success. But I keep pointing back to, you know, 200 wickets at, you know,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
28 as an off spinner is an absolutely phenomenal record.
Yeah,
and you stick
brilliant.
With champion players, don't you? You don't.
Yeah.
So everyone has a bit of a form slump, or has a bit of bad luck. It's like batting slats, isn't it? You might get a perfect ball, you nick one first up, someone takes a great catch, you get strangled down the leg side, and all of a sudden you've had three or four failures, and you're not really out of form. And bowling's a bit the same. You know? As long as you're bowling well, wickets will happen. He's just having a lean run, but he's still bowling the ball quite well.
Good on you, Hen. We thank you for your thoughts this morning.
All right, gentlemen.
Well done. Jeff Lawson there. Good to chat with him.